Yeah, I think the more you practice with it, it'll make more sense.
What I don't understand, Chris, is that Charles said that for some reason on one waypoint I had to turn left when it involves crossing a street and then turning left after you cross the street. That's what that part I don't get. And not only that, the streets are at a weird intersection type thing.
He said, according to the map, your left-hand turn should have been a right turn, and the other one should have been a straight-ahead turn.
That's like I said, that's the part I understand because of the way the streets are laid out. It's kind of weird.
So then, do you want the waypoint on the street before you cross the street or after you cross the street, and then make your left?
The thing is, Chris, when I cross to get from one side to the other side, I have to cross the street and then I have to turn left. And that's what I was trying to imply when I did the route.
Then put a straight waypoint at the first crossing, and then another, and then at the second crossing it would be the left waypoint.
The thing is, I only crossed one street, but I'll have to play with it and maybe send you guys a replay because it's a whole mess. It's a whole deal how the streets are laid out, and I don't know if Charles was able to catch that. And that's what I was trying to imply to him, is that you pretty much cross and then it's a left as soon as you're done crossing that street to get to that particular building.
Yeah, when you drop your waypoints, it doesn't matter. You can put a waypoint on one side of the street and another waypoint on the other side of the street. What you'll want to keep in mind is the distance between the two points. You don't want them any closer than, say, 50 feet, because if you do that, then they could step on each other.
That's what probably happened then, because it's not even 50 feet before I put another waypoint. I'm going to try to eliminate that one particular waypoint and just put the other one and see what happens.
Hi, I'm Charlene Elder. I'm a new user of the GPS.
Hello, welcome.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to it. I got mine in February, and I have the 4 point, whatever it is, two or whatever update, and I have the Slim 236 receiver with the Braille Note BT.
So how are you liking it?
Well, I've done a lot of virtual exploring, and I did take it on a trip. I didn't have my route set up before I went to the trip, but I was able to just kind of use it as a guide thing and read things as I was going down the highway in a car. Quite interesting. So I hope by next time to have a vehicle route already done. I had one done before, but then I had to get 7.5 on the Braille Note and stuff, and it seemed like all my info kind of went down the tubes when I had to reset everything. So hopefully the next car trip I take, I can do this again.
Yeah, when you get in the car, just find your destination and then create a route from that point forward, on the fly, and see how that works.
Okay, I found that it's really helped me. I have a dealer, Roger Bean, in Wisconsin, and he was nice enough to send me the new Braille commands. I worked some with the old commands, and he was nice enough to send me the new commands in Braille, and that's helped a lot.
Yeah, some of the commands have changed from 3.5 to 4.0, especially on the QT or QWERTY units. There were a lot done to the QWERTY units.
I have the BT, but my boyfriend has a QT.
Hey Chris, got a question to ask you.
Go ahead.
Accessible World tomorrow is doing GW Michael from going to be doing a presentation regarding the voice sent from Sendero Group. That's the first I heard of it. Got an email on it today. Can you shed some light on that?
GW Micro is in development of a navigation or GPS for their voice sense and braille sense PDAs, and they are using the Sendero software, yes.
Okay. I'll be in the room tomorrow night to listen to it. Very interesting. So I assumed that it'd be working like the working in a way like the 4.0?
I don't know. Nobody's seen it, so I don't know.
Your name Sendero was brought up. That's why I brought it up in here tonight.
Yeah, they are using the Sendero software. That's pretty much, you know.
Using Sendero software, that means I'm not going to have a good product with Sendero software.
I have to agree with that, Jerry. I have to agree with you. I have to agree with the whole fact that they have to, that they're going to be using the Sendero product on this particular model on the Braille Sense and Voice Sense. It will enable those GW Micro users to realize how great the product that Sendero produces is.
Well, I was using the GPS the other day, and it really got me into trouble and was getting me out of trouble, too. I decided to go for a walk around my neighborhood, and I decided to just go wherever I saw fit to go. And I was walking down the street and made a left onto a dirt road, and it wasn't a dirt road, it was a construction site because the street was totally ripped apart and I had no clue. And then once I got down into it far enough, it was just at a weird angle that I couldn't get myself out of it. And then I decided to go to the next intersection, continue going the direction I was going down, and I was dead on to where I was supposed to go. So it was just, the street was totally ripped up.
That had nothing to do with the GPS. Just the construction part of it. That's where the cane skill, having a guide dog mobility skill could kick in.
Yep, that's exactly true.
On another side, I had an interesting topic the other day regarding that. I'm not going to go and get into that, but it's hard to try to tell people that understand that a GPS is not your eyes. It's just another piece of tools that just help you to let you know where you're at. But that GPS may not work good in your area. Well, you're in a different area, and the map may be all messed up, and the navigation direction may not be correct, and you're just gonna have to use your old, you know, like I was using it the last few days, quite intense, and that.
Stephen Robertson has entered the room.
That I had to do a backslash to recalculate because it wasn't giving me the right reading, but I just naturally say it just the way the GPS, because sometimes it tells me behind. You know, I got to get me the AM1000 because I need to get the quicker time response. Quicker connection back and forth from a satellite, and I added a few hundred more feet when I'm moving faster. Still, I'm not getting it's information, but I'm able to correct it.
Yeah, and you know, you have to keep in mind, you know, a lot of people think that the GPS is going to get you to the door. It's going to take you from point A to point B, and it's not, and it goes back to your orientation and mobility skills.
Here's a question for either you or Charles. Yesterday I was out sailing, and I was looking forward to playing with the GPS, and throughout the day I turned GPS on and got Tollex receiver not detected. So I figured, okay, well, I shut everything down, started it over, same problem. I went into options, made sure that they were both active and paired, and they were. And I figured, I came to a conclusion, I don't know if it's the only conclusion, the conclusion I came to was, damn, maybe my maybe my Holux got bumped on while it was in my backpack, and maybe the battery is dead. So I charged it overnight, and today turned it on and acquired satellites right away. Maybe that is the only alternative, but are there other alternatives that would result in the Holux receiver not being detected besides a dead battery?
Generally, if it's paired and active, it should detect it. Now, I've seen it on some circumstances where the Bluetooth really gets confused, and what I will do in that case is a 456 or JKL reset and just research, repair, and reactivate.
I'm using the QWERTY keyboard. That's generally what I would do too. I would go in the option connectivity and Bluetooth, and then I remove the and then come back and reactivate it and put in the 40, and then it just still didn't work. And then I would deactivate it and remove the card and then do a reset, soft reset, and start all over and try that again.
I'll have to remember that for next time.
Yeah, I've seen it where if you remove the pairing, sometimes you have to remove it twice because the machine still thinks it's paired, but it's not, and you'd have to go back down in and just remove the pairing again, and then it's not paired or active, and then you can go through the pair and activate your receiver. I think in that case, it's just cleaner to do a 456 or a JKL reset.
Yeah, I was thinking about doing something like that, but I couldn't remember for sure which reset was the one to do, and I didn't want to make a mistake out there and not be able to correct it. But, I mean, I charged it, and maybe it was a battery problem, because I did charge it and everything was fine this morning, but I will remember that next time that this happens.
You know, also, it would be advised to carry your USB wire, too, and if all else fell, you know how much percentage of battery life you have on your Braille note, so if all else fell, you can plug in your USB plug and onto your GPS receiver and then run the battery from the GPS, from the Braille note to your GPS. That's like double checking to see if it's getting juice. If your GPS started working, then you know your battery dead.
Yeah, you know, I thought about that after I left home, because I had charged the Empire the night before. The Empire Strikes Back. I did charge it the night before, but I forgot all about taking the USB cord with me, and I could have just slipped it in the backpack, and it would have been fine. So, oh well, next time.
One thing you can also do is if you pull the battery out of the Holux, you can run the receiver without the battery using a USB cable. And I don't know if that would extend, you know, make a difference and extend the battery life of the Braille note while you have the two devices connected or not.
Oh, well, you know, things I didn't think about at the time, but hopefully I'll remember those next time this situation occurs.
Well, that's a good thing about this type of discussion group here is we all pick up some nice suggestions. Just remember, when you get down to 15%, get yourself back on shore.
I have kind of a related question. Today I found that my connectivity, it would say, no receiver detected or something like that. And then 5 seconds later, it would be fine. And this happened a number of times today. So my question is, what is my question? How long should I wait before I know that I've actually lost connectivity?
About 10 seconds.
Okay, and since this did seem to happen a lot today, would a perhaps a 456 reset help? Or what, any idea? My satellites were good or very good all day. I even got WAS and everything, which I don't usually get in this area. So I'm wondering if a 456 reset might help that problem.
Wouldn't hurt.
That's what we were just talking about a few minutes ago. And if your receiver is kind of acting flaky, then you may
heavy current has entered the room.
You may remove the active on your receiver and then reactivate it and then put in it'll ask for your four-digit number and you add the 40 and then reactivate it. And then if that don't work, then you deactivate it and then you do a soft reset and then start all over again and then try it and then see what happens there. You know, combination of trouble and trial and error.
Great, I'll do that. It was just, it really was a little flakier today than it's ever been before. So, good ideas. Thanks.
Here's a question for you as well. As you may have heard on the radio or seen on TV, we've got a couple fires burning here with the Santa Ana winds. And I wondered whether heavy, dense smoke from fires would have any effect on the ability of a satellite to be acquired in the sky. I know I'm, you know, we're not that close. We're in Anaheim, and it's out in Malibu in the Southern California, in the LA area. But even so, if you were that close, would the smoke block the sky at all, and the ability of the satellite to give you a good acquisition?
That's a good question. I know that weather doesn't have any effect on it, so I would guess that smoke wouldn't. But who knows?
I would probably go ask the people who built the satellite.
Well, if I had my GPS, I can answer that question. On one side of the house is completely black because of the Akadusa fire, and the Malibu smoke is not too far from us. On the other side, it's clear. So far, if I had my GPS, I'd be able to answer your question.
Where is it?
Yeah, you got till 5 o'clock. Go get it.
It's on its way from Sendero.
Oh, by the way, on GPS, is there a lemon law?
I stepped away for a minute, but regarding John Gassman's thing with the receiver, did someone suggest that if you had that little cable, you could have plugged it in directly to the USB port on the Braille Note itself and gotten some power that way?
Yeah, they did suggest it, but I didn't have the cable with me, but next time I will. And Sue, did you hear the other question about whether smoke from these exciting fires we're enjoying would affect the ability to see the sky?
I did hear that. It doesn't seem like even if you were right in it, because even, especially with the holics, even heavy trees and stuff don't seem to really affect it. So it doesn't seem like it would, unless it was really, really big.
Being from living in L.A. for 48 years, now I live here in San Antonio.
Kevin has left the room.
I used the, I'm watching KFI and KNX today on the internet on the fire. It was pretty interesting.
In all honesty, I tell you what, my GPS be the last thing I have in my hand. Right now, it is very irritating in the throat of the smoke we're getting, but the wind is, fortunate for me, it's going in the right direction, but, I would be I wouldn't even want to try it. You know, it's bad enough the way it is, not being directly in it. So your mind of thought would not be having a GPS and playing, trying to figure. No, I don't think so.
So could the wind and the fire cause the satellites not to happen?
Well, I probably would say it would, for the fact that when you have rainy day and it's cloudy, I would say it's doing the same thing, except you're at a lower ground level. So I would say it will probably have some effect into it, yeah.
Chris, you're the expert. Can you comment?
I already commented and said no comment, because I really don't know. I know I've used it in very high, like blizzards, snow conditions and stuff, and that didn't have any effect on the satellites.
I agree with you. Flying in an airplane, 32,000, 38,000 feet, 425 mile per hour, 550 mile per hour, going east or south, and then picking up city down below, and I know what state I'm in. I don't think it does matter. I don't think it make a difference. Our military weapons, a lot of it all based on GPS.
Hello, Kevin.
We've got 12 of us in here. This is a lot.
So do we have any stories or anything we want to talk about or any experiences that we have, good or bad?
I have a story. Last week, I wasn't here because we were supposedly on our way to Monterey, and we got as far as Los Banos, and our car broke down, and we had to have it towed back to Sacramento, and the tow truck driver was really intrigued with my GPS. He'd never seen such a thing, and, you know, he kept asking me, okay, where am I, where am I? I kept telling him, oh, you're in Modesto, and you're in Stockton, and you're in, you know, and I'd tell him right where he was. He thought that was pretty cool. Although it would have been more fun to be in Monterey and explore with GPS. It was quite a fun adventure to freak out a tow truck driver.
Yeah, I find that a lot. People don't, they either don't believe you or they don't understand that the technology is there or whatever. But, you know, when I tell someone, yeah, I'm on such and such a street or near such and such an address or we're coming up to this turn, they're just like, wow.
Chris, question. When I am on a street, on a road, using the vehicle route, I hit ek. In order for me to know, you know, say left, right, behind, forward, whatever, but to know what street I am on, do I do a read with ek and then get more information that way? Or what the other command to know exactly the name of the street I am on?
That would be A. You would get your nearest address in the current street that you're on.
A, okay.
Why did they change it so that X doesn't tell us the street we're on as well as the upcoming intersection? I thought that was kind of nice. Now I usually have to do the two commands, you know, the X to see what I'm coming up to and the A to see what street I'm on.
Chris, either alt, right arrow, or alt, up arrow will increase your volume since you have the moderator tools.
Right, okay. Next time she speaks, I'll try it.
Well, I was walking along today, and I had the only multiple repeat command that I had turned on was next intersection. And for some reason, after a while, it wasn't giving me that information anymore, and I couldn't stop to try to go into that command set again because I was getting late for where I was supposed to be. Just because it's easy to ask, is there a one key command that would tell me the next intersection, or is it just the X?
It's dots 4-6 for detailed and 4-5-6 for next intersection.
Excellent.
Chris, could you explain the differences like between the virtual mode, the navigation mode, and the third mode, which name I can't think of right now?
Okay, there are actually two modes. There is GPS mode, which is the mode that you are in when you are tracking satellites live. The virtual mode is the mode that you are in if you want to virtually explore an area, say, for example, a city in a state or other neighborhood in your city, and not physically there. That's really the differences between GPS and virtual mode.
Chris, you're going to have to go out of the room and we come back in?
No, Chris, I said the smoke hit Chicago and they correct me, New York, Buffalo.
I think you have to answer her question all over again because that buffering really made it kind of tough to understand you.
Okay, can someone repeat the question because I don't remember what it was?
It had to do with the two different modes, virtual versus GPS.
Thank you. The GPS mode is where you want to be when you're tracking live. So you're outside with your GPS receiver, it's got a fix, and you're walking around live. Your virtual mode is a mode that you want to be in when you want to explore an area such as a city in another state or a neighborhood in your own city that you're not physically there, and you don't even need the receiver turned on, paired, or even active in order to use virtual mode.
Thank you. I've discovered it. I've done quite a bit on virtual mode, but not as, nearly as much on live. Could you explain if you can use look around in both of these modes and what kind of purpose the look around actually serves?
Look around is used in both modes. If you're virtually exploring, you will hear businesses that may pop up near you virtually. And if you're out navigating live, you're going to hear your businesses or points of interest or intersections triggering when you're out live. Now, what look around mode does is it allows you to build a map of landmarks, if you will, like a sighted person would use their landmarks to know that they're walking down the street on a specific route and there's a McDonald's that's on the right. Well, you're walking down that same street on that same route and there's the McDonald's that's on your right, so now you know.
So it's best to have it enabled then.
That depends on the you know, the user or the situation.
I know when I took the car ride, I heard of businesses that I'd never heard of before when we were going by these businesses. By having it enabled, it just amazed me.
Yeah, it's amazing because you'll see businesses that can be run out of people's houses. I mean, I know around my neighborhood there are businesses that just from their addresses, you know that they're ran out of someone's house.
Well, you asked for a story. This is not a spectacular one, but I happen to be in a vehicle being driven to our state agency for the blind and didn't have my GPS on because I was doing other things, but suddenly the driver said that she wasn't quite sure where she was. So very quickly I got on and I was able to orient her and we did fine. And then we're going along and I checked her speed and I said, we're getting there quite quickly. You're going whatever, such and such a speed. And I don't think she expected me to have caught her going over the speed limit. But we arrived safely without a police escort.
It's always pretty nice when you can catch the sighted driver speeding.
Oh, yeah.
I drive my husband crazy a lot of times because I always say, Dan, you're going over the speed limit. Slow down.
Hello, Char. Are you down under or are you here?
No, I'm back. I'm just listening in. I just was lurking in the background.
Oh, you sound like you are jet lag. I got back, I was at the Oktoberfest on the 7th, so, and I got back on the 10th in the morning.
No, I've been here for about a week, so I shouldn't be jet lagged. I'm just a tired day. Had a little snooze this afternoon. I'm still waking up. So, anyway, just trying to get some energy and then have to start figuring out what I'm going to be doing for supper there shortly. So, that's about it.
Got a question for you. I asked Chris. Tomorrow there's going to be a presentation from GW Michael on voice sense. With Sendero software, can you shed any light on that?
Well, just that, you know, HIMSS is using our SDK to create a product for the Braille voice sense. And it's called Sense Navigation, from what I've been told. And I don't even think it's in beta testing yet, but I'm actually curious to find out about it as well, and probably will be checking in tomorrow night to listen in.
Okay, yeah, me too. I got an email on it, and I go, what's this? Yeah, okay.
Is this going to be an online presentation, Jerry, or do you have a website for it?
Yes, www.accessibleworld.com. www.techtalk.org and go into Tech Talk. And they do have an archive with Mike May or when the Sendero, they have archive. It's a pretty good site. It's on every Monday, accessibleworld.org.
Yeah, Mike presided there 2 weeks ago before we went to New Zealand and Australia. And I listened to that. This Monday, I guess it's going to be on Sense Navigation by HIMS and GW Micro. So it'll be very interesting.
Yeah, that'll be pretty interesting because I was there for the Mike May presentation on GPS-4. And I was there a few weeks ago when Emor was presenting Keysoft 7.5. But
Kevin, I would suggest to anybody in this room, besides Sendero, besides being on the Sendero email list, I would be on the Accessible World list because they do have some good presentation in there once in a while. And if you don't want to be in there, you can download the archive.
There's a an edit field down below the Tech Talk room where you can sign up to the various mailing lists that are on that page, and they do a lot of stuff. I mean, they just opened up a sports talk room, lots of different topics on any given night of the week that are as a part of accessibleworld.com. So it's a nice site, and it's a lot of fun.
Sendero offer a great educational, this platform here is really good. And then I have the Blind and Veteran Friend site, and I have a 100-person room and a 30-person room and a 10-person room on my web link for the veteran. And then you know, Accessible World does it good thing, and Sendero, I enjoy coming in here on Sunday because when I have time, because, you know, you always learn something, and you always forget, and then you go back and it remind you.
Well, any good company is you know, if they've done their work correctly, is going to have documentation which basically gives you anything you could possibly imagine in terms of instruction and information on the product. So that's why Sendero's is so good, and I'm just about ready to get an Omnicode barcode reader. I can't remember if we're getting it through Sendero. Probably are, because my rehab counselor is getting it for me for work-related stuff. So there's another thing I'll have to learn how to use.
I have one. You'll enjoy it.
Yeah, those things are pretty nice. I personally don't have one, but I've had the chance to mess around with it and fiddle with it during conferences and conventions and workshops, but it'd be pretty nice to own one of those things myself.
I'll suggest that you want to, they'll probably give you a 256 gigabyte card. I suggest that you ask for a 512. I went down the store and bought a 1 gig and got it reformat for that. And I got a 1 gig card because they're putting so much information. The card that they're putting and sending with the Army does not hold enough information now, and it's going to run out of space real fast. You want to try to give you a 512 or a 1 gig.
Yeah, I saw my twin brothers, and he's got a 1 gig. I'm pretty sure that's what I'm getting too. And just so we can tie this in loosely, very loosely, with GPS, if I ever lose it in a room somewhere, I can use the getting warmer method, and I'm sure I'll find it right away.
Yeah, we'll see how that works, especially with all the signals bouncing off the walls and whatnot.
Maybe the M1000 will help you find the barcode reader.
All right. I have a question. And how, between the, I got the Holic 236. Now, when I decide to get the Holic M1000, well, it recalculate and act and give me a quicker information, much quicker, more accuracy, and lap time will be much quicker.
I actually find that the M1000, if you first turn it on, it gets a fix a lot quicker, Jerry. So I don't know, I haven't exactly timed it, but it's a lot faster compared to the 236, and most of them I can lock on to 10, 11 satellites easily. And it's actually funny, because since we're talking about satellites and stuff like that, yesterday I was out in the car. I don't remember where I was going. I think I was actually going out to dinner, but I locked down to 12 satellites, and for whatever reason reported 0 satellites, which was sort of funny, but so I was able to lock onto 11, 12 satellites without a problem at all, and accuracy in the range of 15, 16 feet, which was pretty cool.
You know, like, the lap time, like what is, I don't know at all. Is it every 3 seconds or 6 seconds, on a 236, it recalculate where the 1,000, like, maybe one every second?
Yeah, I think it's once a second, actually, for both.
Yeah, I think it's once a second for both as well, for the 236 and the M1000. I don't think that they would update less frequently.
No, I have it set at once a second, giving me the lat, lon, speed, heading, all of that information. Satellites is always given at once a second, and actually most of the time the receivers are giving it a lot more than that, and I only pull the GPS receiver once a second. So they should be identical in that situation, Jerry. The only issue with the 236 over the 1000 is the 1000 has a better battery life, quicker acquisition time, is more sensitive, although the spec really shows that they're about the same. The M1000 actually picking up signals inside buildings and with canopies over top of you, like brush and, you know, foliage and stuff like that, a lot better than the 236. So it's just different chipset, different technology, but it's doing a lot better job of acquiring those signals and keep hanging on to them.
Hey Charles, is there a reason that we get 0 satellites for any reason? Because I actually managed to capture a replay of it, so I'm not sure if you have an explanation for that or if you want me to send the replay on your way.
Just a sec.
I got the same thing, Kevin. I got 0 satellites, and then maybe a few seconds later it was correct again.
Yeah, the only explanation I can think of is that the receiver had a erroneous error as far as it when it displayed the number of satellites. So I'm just, you know, reporting back what the receiver is saying. So if the receiver reports that it had 0 satellites, that's what I'm going to report. And there could have been an internal error with the receiver, and you just caught it at that point in time, and then subsequently the receiver would have corrected itself, and then I would have updated my number of satellites and everything else as well. We do make sure that we check each message that we get from the receiver actually has a CRC check code that guarantees that the data that the receiver sent to me is valid, and it basically ensures that you know that I'm not reporting incorrect information. So you know that is not a potential area for error. So we know that the receiver actually generated a message that said it was 0 satellites, and the CRC check matched that. So that can't be the problem. So it has to be something in the receiver's firmware that reported mistakenly, or maybe it was just an error occurred. Sometimes there's a hard error that occurs inside the receiver, and the receiver sort of resets itself, but in the meantime could report information like that while it's reacquiring the satellites and trying to recover from one of these error conditions.
Okay, that makes sense. I think I've probably received it maybe 4 or 5 times with the M1000 so far, and I was wondering if maybe if I send a replay on your way, would that help resolve anything, or is just the fact that it's an issue in the receiver's firmware or whatever, the receiver side of it versus the actual software?
Yeah, you know, it would be more just as an interest thing more than anything else, I think. If you have a replay with it in and know exactly where in the replay it occurs, like, you know, 30 seconds in, then I could take a look and just sort of see just sort of curiosity if any other error occurred at the exact same time that it reported zero satellites, and maybe that then I could ignore that in the future when these errors occur. So it's probably something that you can send to me. Actually, send it to Chris. Chris can track it. It'll probably be like a P2 or 3, or if I'm bored someday and want to see what's going on. But yeah, send it in. More the merrier.
Sure, I'll send it in, and it actually happens within like the first second of the replay, so that wouldn't be too hard to track. First, actually, 1 or 2 seconds of the replay, so that wouldn't be too bad.
Oh yeah, then that's even easier, and I can take a look, and yeah, I won't promise anything, but I could take a look. I have so many replays to look at. It's not even funny right now, actually, with all these different receivers.
I'll go make a few more and send it on your way, Charles. Don't worry about that.
I'm wondering if there's a place in the manual where I can look up to read about HDOP and VDOP, or no, VDOP and, yeah, VDOP and HDOP, I guess it is. I'd never really paid any attention to them before, but I'd like to learn more about what they mean, so I could understand the qualities of my fix when I am traveling.
Well, I don't think we go into great detail about those two values, and we usually, we try to make it makes it more to that than anything else. Even the number of satellites is, I don't even use really the number of satellites in my calculation of accuracy, to tell you the truth. I use more of the information that the receiver gives me as far as those HDOP values. VDOP is for vertical, inaccuracies, XY coordinates are, where you are on the Earth, not up in the sky versus down below. And the lower the those values, HDOP and VDOP, the better accuracy you have. And you want to get a value closest to one, and actually under one is even better. But they can range from, a decimal number to 50. And then, values of 50 is really, really bad. And you usually only receive that first started up, and it's trying to acquire satellites. But as more satellites come in, those values, those HDOT values and VDOT values start to decrease, get smaller, which increases your accuracy in both the XY coordinate and your vertical Z component with vertical dilution of precision or VDOT. Anything else you'd like to know, or maybe I wasn't that clear, that actually that explanation.
Well, that kind of clarifies it. So the VDOP is, I assumed it meant vertical, and HDOP is horizontal, I assume. So just I'm looking for lower numbers rather than higher numbers. That gives me something to look at. I usually just glance at the good and very good and how many feet. And in fact, since I use speech on request, I didn't even know that the DOP stuff existed until someone mentioned it on one of the chats, and then I scrolled further with my thumb keys and found them, and I thought, well, gee, I want to know what these mean just to kind of get an idea of what I was looking at.
Well, good for you. Yeah, and that's exactly what it means. And so you're trying to get the lower the number, and occasionally you'll see numbers below one. Very rare. Usually, an HDOP of one is very, very good. So yeah, I think you'll only get values below one maybe when you have WAAS, but that is remains to be seen. And I don't think it's really tied to having that other satellite at all.
I actually think I've seen the HDOP go below one when I had probably, what, 10, 11 satellites, and the accuracy was between 16 and 19 feet, somewhere around there.
Yeah, I've seen the HDOP and the VDOP at the lowest I've seen them is 0.8 and 0.7, and that was not with WAAS. When I've seen the WAAS, the HDOP and the VDOP were in the one range.
I think the lowest I've seen the HDOP and the VDOP were 0.7 and 0.7 without WAAS, and if the accuracy was 9 feet, then it would be right around those same values.
Right, and that sort of makes sense. So the where you're getting these numbers, and I didn't think it was really tied to WAAS or not, so that confirms that, I believe. So good deal.
Yeah, I would have thought it would have been lower with WAAS, because doesn't WAAS mean that you're getting better accuracy because you get the additional information or something. I always forget, even though I've read the definition of WAS a zillion times, I always forget exactly how to explain it, but I always thought that when WAS was working, you were getting better accuracy.
Well, there's been a lot of debate on that, actually, and a lot of experts don't really think that you're getting too much benefit with WAS, and some of the GPS manufacturers turn off WAS. But we kind of take the other approach. It's like, well, if it didn't have any effect, well, then why spend millions of dollars to put up this satellite, right? And keep it up to date and everything else. So you have to be getting some benefit. And I talked to some of the other some manufacturers of GPS receivers, and you know, they gave me an estimated idea that, let's say without WAS, your accuracy is, let's say, 20 feet. They said with WAS, you're probably getting somewhere around, instead of 20 feet, maybe 15 or 14 feet accuracy. So you get a bit of improvement. So I generated an equation, mathematical equation, that I ran by them, and they said, yeah, that's pretty good, and looked it up on numerous GPS websites, and you know, so it does improve it a little bit, and that's what that accuracy number is, the number of feet. It does take into account if WAS is enabled or not. It does, we do take that into consideration, but the jury is still out on exactly how much it improves your accuracy, but I'd rather have it than not have it myself.
It's actually funny because I remember, I actually think that the entire time I've owned my M1000, I've never seen WAS at all, so I'm not sure if my particular receiver has WAS disabled or what the case might be.
I've seen WAS a lot more with my M1000 than I ever did with my Earthmate. I'd see it occasionally with my Earthmate, but now almost every session I'll get sometimes, you know, WAS going for some part of my travels.
Yeah, I don't know. When did you get that receiver? Did you buy that yourself, Kevin? Or did you get it through Sendero? And if you got it through us, I'm surprised that it doesn't have WAS by default turned on.
I actually got it myself maybe 2 weeks before Waypoint.
Oh, okay. So you went and bought it yourself. Yeah, it's because some manufacturers of the Holix M1000 or distributors don't turn that software on by default because it does take a hit to the battery life of your M1000. So not having that enabled, you get better battery life than if you had it enabled. I don't know how exactly what the hit is, but it's probably, you know, if the M1000 is what, rated at 17 hours, maybe you get 18 or 19 hours, you know, a little bit more when you don't have WAS enabled. But yeah, it's unfortunate that you got it, you know, without that enabled.
Yes, it explains that. I actually got it before Sendero announced it, so I guess that's what I get for trying to be ahead of the game.
Okay, Shaw, I'm up to 6 voice note that I'm getting the VA purchase from the Sendero group, and I told him, go to Sendero, because now, does that mean now for every 6, so the guy can justify it and we get it in, it'll probably order this week or next week. So that means the 6, now I should get a receiver.
Oh yeah, every 6th purchase you get a free something, right? We have to give you a free something there, Jerry, for all of your hard work. Yeah, you know, talk to the big man, Mike, and see what you can get your little something for all of your business you're throwing our way.
I'm just trying to ask a discount. That's all. I asked Sheila that. I'm waiting to I had to call the guy up this weekend, and I told him, "Did you justify?" He said,
Orlando has left the room.
And he said, but I suppose, I said, yeah. They can't order until you ask why you want one, because it's all ready to, we got the purchase price and everything. It's all ready to go. He just need to turn in his request for one.
So when you, when WASP is not able, how do you make it able?
The only way to do that is, I believe, sending it into where you bought it and get them to install the firmware on the receiver with that enabled. There may be a way to do it over the web, but I would be a little bit careful on that. I think Carl Simmons tried to do that on one receiver and turned it into a paperweight. So you sort of have to be careful when you do stuff like that. But if you're used to updating electronics with new firmware, then you should be okay, but you never know. So the best bet is to maybe get in contact with where you bought it from and see if there's a way that you can get that firmware updated.
Steven Robertson's receiver came from Sendero, so his is WAS enabled.
I should try that myself. I went online and got a program that could update the firmware and ended up killing one of my receivers, so that was foolish on my part.
There you go, right from the horse's mouth. So yeah, you got to be careful with stuff like that. And even sometimes it happens when you're updating the firmware on the Braille notes and the PKs and stuff that sometimes it just something happens during the upgrade process that the power goes out or who knows what happens, the cable gets unplugged or whatever, and then boom, you're pretty much hosed and you have to send it back to get reflashed from the manufacturer.
Yeah, I did my update a couple of days ago, and I read that very carefully, and then you hold down what the J and K, and then the card was in with the SD card, and I hit the reset, and then hold it down for a minute, and then I heard the tune, and then did download, but I made sure everything was plugged in before I did that, because I know it said that if it stopped, you're SOL and you have to send it in for service.
It's actually funny that you mentioned that. I actually had that happen too. I was upgrading to Keysoft 7.5 and I was doing this when I was tired, and apparently I've somehow corrupted the installation and somehow the serial number was lost from ROM, so I had to send that back in so the motherboard could get reflashed or whatever had to be done.
How much they charge when you have to do that?
It's actually free. They don't charge you a thing.
Yeah, this voice note I got it through Volt Rehab. It didn't come from the VA. It come from the VA, but from Volt Rehab. And I'm responsible, and I had to purchase all the upgrade and repair and all that stuff. And I'm waiting for a whole brand new GPS come out one day that everybody's going to wish they have. Then I'm going to ask for one. So, I have to pay for everything out of my pocket, which I don't mind. So I'm all up to date on everything. Keep it up. Like anything, nothing perfect, but it's a very useful tool to have. And I am gonna get the M1000. I can't wait to get that in my hand. All of us know this. When you need the GPS to turn on now, you want it on now. You can't really wait and for other reasons at that time. You need to have it on now. Sometimes I have to wait 5 minutes, 6, 7 minutes, and then, I can't wait no longer. Then I shut everything down and do what we talk about in the beginning. Reset the receiver and get it back running again, and hopefully that turn the map back on and usually it works after that. But then it's 10 minutes later.
Yeah, if I don't get a fix within a minute or two, I usually just back out to the GPS to the main menu, turn off my GPS receiver. turn it back on and then try it again, because sometimes it gets into a weird state where it's looking at for satellites and it didn't see it for some reason, so it sort of missed that opportunity and starts, looking in, everywhere in the sky instead of where it should be. And by just going to the main menu, turning off your GPS server, going back in and starting it back up again, usually that works really very well and you get a fix a lot quicker.
And barring if none of that works, what I do is pull the battery out for about 30 seconds and then put it back in and go back into GPS and everything works.
Speaking of backing out of GPS, if the E cord or the Z cord doesn't work, is there any other magical way of backing out of GPS?
Well, there's also the if you press the main menu key or the space with all six dots, that'll back you out to the main menu.
Okay.
Yeah, there should be no, it should be pretty easy to get back to the main menu from GPS. And the Z cord, E cord, backspace, all of those should do the trick. And as Kevin said, the menu function should also work. And if you really wanna, you can also like hotkey out of, GPS and go to like a word processor or something like that using the task switching. So, numerous ways to get out of the program.
I just seem to have had a lot of difficulties with that. So I'll try the various tricks, though.
You can always go to the help menu and then go down to exit and go that out that way too.
There's another way.
See, there's so many ways we even forget all the ways to get out of the program.
I actually didn't even think of that one. That's a good one.
On a voice note, I'd say the GPS is a great piece. I wish it was smaller. That can carry it around like a tracker and then does the stuff, but but I'll take it as it is and use it. But I enjoy it when it's working correctly, and it's not perfect, but it does a very good job. And I don't know how to explain, but I see some bug in it that I'm not happy with. But I think as time goes on, it also going to improve better. And I find out I have to do recalculating quite a bit sometimes to get. To get it to read right and stuff like that, but and I would, I don't know, O&M instructor seem to have a thing about GPS. I had a runaround. Not the person wasn't a veteran. It was on another site, but. And if I had my say so, I would issue it to anybody that feel that they need one. Doesn't matter who they are, as long as they can show that they can use it.
Yeah, I agree. And as far as your issues that you're having there, Jerry, why don't you just send me an email with with your concerns, because we're always looking to improve certain areas of the product, and I'm not sure if this is things that we already know about or not, but just to make sure that that we're not overlooking something that everyone seems to be having an issue with and we think is working fine. We don't want that to happen.
No, I'm not complaining. I don't know how to put it in a word sense of word, how to describe it. But I'll show an example. I got to turn to that street that they're going to ask me to turn on, and I may not want to go to that street, but I have to pass that street. But after I passed that street, then I do a reset because I wanted to recalculate to the next street. And, you know, sometime it'll say, like, old Tezzo, you're on Gilbert, ahead and back, and then old Tezzo, and then it'll say right, but really I have to make a left turn. So I'll do a reset again, and then I'll recalculate, and then it'll say old Tezzo, turn right. But the first time, I mean turn left, but the first time it said turn right. And I have to do a reset, you know. So these are the little thing that I'm getting misinformation. I know it's wrong. It's not correct, you know. And then because that's why I want to get the M1000 and see how that's going to work.
What is your email address? Is it on the website?
Yeah, I think so. Under Contact Us, I believe. You can always just send a message to support@senderogroup.com as well.
Sounds like the issue that Jerry's describing is more of a mapping and maybe just more or less a mapping issue.
It could be. And I, Chris was just telling me that that a replay has been sent in. Is that right, Jerry?
Yeah. I have to do a few times, hit the backslash to get it recalculate, and I know it's playing trick on me. It's tricking me, and I said, that's not right. Now do a recalculate, and then I'll get the, then I'm getting the accurate reading from there. Those are the little issues, and I don't know if it's just in the receiver or it's a map. I don't know, you know, it's doing its job, don't get me wrong, it's doing its work.
Charlie Nelder has left the room.
But I would like it to be more pinpoint, you know, because sometimes you don't have time, you know, if you're on the highway and you got to move somewhere else and then you don't have time to recalculate, or you got to react now, you know.
Right. And, you know, it also depends on exactly where the GPS thinks you are. So if you've actually passed the street and then say recalculate, but the GPS thinks you're for the street, then it's going to do, you know, it's going to calculate as if you're before the street and give you information that you're like, well, no, that's behind me or something like that. So I could see that, you know, it all depends where the GPS thinks you are. So it might be that issue, or it might be a mapping issue, or it could be some software issue that I haven't seen before. And once we have replays and routes showing me exactly what's happening, then I can accurately reproduce what you're seeing at the time, and then fix it if it's my issue or not. So, but it sounds like we have the information we need, and we'll take a look at it in due course.
So, Charles, if you pass the street and the GPS knows that you pass a particular street and you hit the recalculate command, it should, in theory, create a route going to the next possible street where you can turn off of versus having to turn around?
Yeah, we should be taking into account heading, and apparently this may or may not be working correctly or something. I'm not quite sure because the unit tests I have in place actually do take into account heading as part of the scenario, but maybe that's just not a good unit test, but it should be taking that into account. So I'll have to revisit it. We have a track in place with this issue, so we'll take a look at it.
Just for the record, Shaw, this is before I went to the bar, not after.
Okay, good. Thanks for clearing that up, because I would hate to find out. Yeah, this is one of those Jerry after a bender replays, and I watch you stagger from left side of the street to the right hand side of the street. Okay, good to know.
let me see. I don't think it's in the mapping issue because that's what I do to recalculate, and then correct itself. Move it up to 300 feet to let me know when I get there on the vehicle route.
I usually find that I'm not sure why, but sometimes I have to go probably a quarter mile beyond the street before it actually will recalculate a new route and not have me turn around to that street it originally wanted me to turn off of. But I'm not sure if that's also taking into account the distance that you have to go beyond that particular turn before it'll make a new route, or. But it sounds like it's already being looked into, so.
Did I explain it well enough?
You explained it just fine, Jerry.
Even so, I enjoy it, and it's been working for me, and it's been working pretty well for me, so I've been very, very pleased with it, too, so. Tell my wife when she goes. Yeah, I use it more on the vehicle than pedestrian, but pedestrian I use it too. So don't get me wrong, but I tell you, I intend to get lost very easy now. You know, I can't see the name of the street anymore, so it's very easy. And I don't want to knock on somebody's door and ask them, "Where am I? Where am I?" My GPS is telling me where to go.
I never leave home without it.
All right, all. See you next week. I want to catch my Red Sox game. So have a good week, everybody.
A good one.
Take care.
Take care, Arlene.
Take care.
Yep, it's about time to start, so I think I might go duck out and do that too, Russ. Bye for now.
All right, take care, everyone. It's been a good chat session, and we'll see some of you probably tomorrow night at that other chat meeting.
All right, take care, everyone. I'll send you that replay, Chris.
I'm going to get out of here, too. Charles and Kevin and Chris and everybody else, have a good evening. And Charles, give me a call.